Well, good day, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of WTF Walk the Floors. I'm Stephanie Ledger with First Rate Hospitality, and I'm joined with my co-host, Michelle Klein of Klein Hospitality. How are you today, Michelle?
I'm doing fantastic, Stephanie. Thank you so much for being on the other side, everyone. We have two very special guests today, and I'll tell you why we decided to have them on. It's because as we wrap up October being the Disabilities Employment Awareness Month, these two powerhouse women have created something amazing, and we want to make sure that we share it with the world. So we have Amanda and Sarah, founders of In Good Company. Amanda and Sarah, thank you so much for being on our show today. Tell us about your individual backgrounds first, and then we'll take a deep dive into what In Good Company is and what you do for our industry and the people that you impact.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie and Michelle both. So happy to be here. I am Sarah Nauman. I am a former second grade teacher. I used to teach at a school for students with learning differences, which meant that I had some brilliant students with autism, ADHD, dyslexia, other cognitive and learning disabilities. And the burning question that I always had as I was working with these brilliant students was, what is their future going to look like? Are they going to have the same opportunities that, neurotypical peers are going to have? Are they going to have employers that are going to recognize their skill sets as valuable on their teams? And if not, how can we continue working on this? So I packed up my classroom and headed to business school because I was told that I could go there to find brilliant minds and resources that could help me solve this challenge that many of my students would face one day in a sustainable way. And that's where I met Amanda. So I'll let Amanda go ahead and share her background.
Yeah. I'm Amanda Shojai, co-founder of In Good Company. Thank you, Michelle and Stephanie, for having us here. And yeah, my background's a little bit different. I'm very unrelated to the space that I'm in now. And I was working in DC in more of the policy world. I was working at a regional bank. And, I was kind of reaching the 30s, kind of itching to grow in a lot of ways. And part of that was my career. And I was really yearning to make more of an impact in the work that I was doing. And that's part of the reason I went to the MBA program where I met Sarah, was that I wanted to learn the skills so I could do more. And when I heard about her passion and why she chose to come to the program, I was just so motivated and so inspired. And I was like, what a great way to do good with the new skills that you're learning. And we got together in our, I think, product development class. Mm-hmm. And she put it out there that she was looking for help on her idea. And I was actually scared at first, but eventually I was like, I could maybe help you. I have free time. And so that's how we got together, just working during school on an idea that really has blossomed into a business.
Wow, that's amazing.
Just beautiful. Yeah.
I think Michelle and I really can relate of reaching out and having a conversation of how we came together with WTF and some other projects as well as, yeah, reaching out and then realizing, wow, we really work well together. So tell us also too, now you've come together and created this amazing company called In Good Company, and tell our listeners a little bit more about what is this company.
Yeah, so In Good Company, our whole mission is to train managers in the service industry how they can recruit, train, and retain candidates from the disabled community. These great people are doing a lot of the things to prepare them for employment. They're doing job coaching, they're participating in vocational rehab, they're doing all these different programs, so many resources to prepare for employment. Mm-hmm. But what Sarah and I got to thinking as we were doing our research and talking to a lot of people is that we're not seeing the same preparation necessarily on the employer side. Mm-hmm. And it's so great that these candidates are doing all of this preparation, but if the employer isn't ready to receive them, then it's almost going to waste, really, and they're not taking full advantage of these great candidates. So that's really our focus and mission, is we don't necessarily need to add any more to the candidate side. What we'd like to do is add more value on the employer side, kind of clarify any misconceptions that they may have about this community and learn what a true value they can be to their teams, especially in the service industry, where we're hearing a lot from general managers that they're having such a hard time finding good talent that sticks around. And so for us, we think that managers are, you know, with easy steps that are cheap, that are just more accommodating, they can bring in these candidates and make an environment that they want to stay in and make careers in.
I love that. And I know, ladies, that you have very recently launched a platform, so congratulations on that. What In Good Company is hits home for me, right? In several aspects. On the one hand, I'm a strong believer of preparing the leadership team to be successful in the quest of managing people, right? So that we stop that revolving door. But then I feel like In Good Company is that added value of, all right, great. If we're going to tap into new pools of candidates, what is it that our leadership team needs to know more of? Exactly. Do they need to reframe their language? Do they need to be conscious of specific things, right? I teach a class, a workshop that has everything to do with communicating with different types of personalities. And I'm sure that the platform that you have has a lot to do with that too. How do you communicate with someone who has either a visible or non-visible disability, right? So I think it's epic. I absolutely love your purpose. And I want to know more. So tell us more about the platform, how it helps the hospitality industry. Could this platform be used in other industries, like maybe healthcare or commercial airlines or whatever that looks like? Enlighten us with as much information as you can in the next few minutes so we don't lose the interest of the people on the other side because they have no time. But tell us more about what the platform does and what the entire thing looks like.
Yeah. So you mentioned our audience has a short amount of time. We agree, which is actually, we were talking before we went on air about, you know, your episodes are short. That's our intention too. How can we deliver this amazingly important and valuable information in bite-sized pieces for busy managers? So we've got a lot of very small condensed pieces of instruction. We've got monthly webinars that are 30 minutes over lunchtime, but they're also recorded to watch later. Something that's really important to us is that we're not talking about this population, but we're talking with them and hearing from them. So you can actually, oh, I guess this will air after the fact, but our first webinar, October 25th, we're hearing from a self-advocate from the autism population. His name is Cody Clark. He is a keynote speaker at events, also a magician. He is so fun, but also so insightful. And he's going to be kicking us off and starting the conversation, like you mentioned earlier, just knowing what language to use. I think that's the first thing that trips people up and causes some hesitation when approaching the conversation, much less thinking about hiring from this community, is just that uncertainty. So he's just going to come in and demystify a lot of it and say, hey, this is how you can talk about it. Here's how I feel, you know, in this situation with an employer, with someone tiptoeing around the issue, and here's how you can enter confidently and respectfully. From there, we also have monthly forums where we'll have calls where managers who are already doing this, or maybe even who are new to this idea, can come in and just say, hey, I've got an employee who seems to struggle with some memory. What are ways that I can support them? Another manager can hop on and say, oh, yeah, I had that problem. I use picture charts. Here's how you can make them. Or I use this strategy. It's worked really well at my property. I'd love for you to give it a, you know, it's supposed to be a platform that's learning based through community aspects. And so we want that two-way conversation, not just with us and the users, but really the users with each other, learning together, sharing, implementing. We go through not just talking about the idea of it, actually taking them through the process of, you know, refining their job postings so they're inclusive and welcoming with terminology and phrases that, you know, notify this community that they are welcome and wanted in this space. All abilities are, they have a place to contribute on the teams. We talk about where to source these amazing candidates. It's one thing to say we'd like to, it's another thing to actually start doing it. And then finally, we go through training elements of, you know, this is how you can implement accommodations. Like Amanda said earlier, so many of them are inexpensive. Many accommodations are free that would, you know, not only benefit these employees with disabilities, but honestly, anyone. If you really think about it, just about every single employee, you and I, like we've all had different needs. One that we like to joke about, Amanda does great sitting at the same desk all day in the same position. I need flexibility in where I sit and where I take my calls from. I am in a different setting every single call of the day because I just need more variety and I need more options. So,
and that's an accommodation. I mean, you know, all these things that we do to accommodate how we work. Mm-hmm. So it's really as simple as that. And, you know, one thing I've really learned from Sarah is the power of storytelling. And that's something we really want to incorporate in our platform as well, mm-hmm. because we really learned that sometimes this topic can seem so foreign to people who haven't put it in place at their workplace. But if they see that a counterpart, another general manager is doing it and they're successful at it and they're able to overcome any challenges that may come, it's such a beautiful thing to see in action. And so we're hoping as people come on the platform, you know, they're coming from all different levels and different parts in this process. Some are more mm-hmm. advanced than others in it, that they can show the ones who are new to this that mm-hmm. it can be done. It's actually not that difficult. And we can all work together to help each other in the process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one thing that you mentioned is the word accommodation.
Yeah.
And accommodation is typically seen with a lot of fear, right? Because now what does that look like? And am I going to have to completely dismantle my current process? And it really does not need to be something we fear. It can be something as simple as being able to stand up or work in a different area or take your computer somewhere else or whatever that looks like, right? Or mm-hmm. or even taking it to the simplest thing of when you have that candidate in front of you that you know what their needs are, how can you best communicate with them? How can you best fill up their cup so that they can perform at their greatest? Then it's the smallest things that we will be able to do, like finding the right spot for them, finding the right role. If you're someone who seeks to fill up your cup when it comes to, you know, sensory challenges, when you need to be moving all the time, then maybe we give you a position that actually requires for you to be moving all the time. So you're going to be epic at it.
And right? Michelle, I would add, you know, I think sometimes, you know, busy managers, tight budget, short on time. I wouldn't blame someone for having the thought, what is this going to cost me, rather in resources or time to make these adjustments that this employee might need. But the keyword is they need to succeed and do well on the job. Mm-hmm. And I would challenge that and say, yeah, it might cost you some extra time up front or some investment in some new resources, but also not just what do you have? Like, not what is it going to cost me, but what can I gain and what can my entire team gain from this presence of this new employee who, when supported well and given the right accommodations or supports or resources, they're going to add so much to your team. It's not taking away from, it's adding to and enhancing your team. And mm-hmm. I think, like you said earlier, Amanda, they stay, like anyone's going to stay long-term in a role where they feel supported and wanted and needed.
Yeah. And Michelle, I think you bring up a great point of, you know, speaking to a person's strengths or maybe a quality of the disability that actually can be very good in certain positions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I love to commend the service industry because I think they've actually done a lot of the things that are going to be great for making accommodations. Specifically, you know, when you think about what COVID did to the hospitality world, it really made general managers kind of rethink how their shifts are or how tasks are getting done. Maybe they had a role that it was always this way, but now it's a little bit of everything. That's actually a great thing for someone who has a disability, because they may not feel what that traditional role used to be. They may be able to do, like, you know, task A, task D, task F. You know, it's not as straightforward as before, but the hospitality industry is actually already thinking that way because they were forced to because of the challenging times of COVID. And I really think these kind of challenges actually make such great innovations. So we really think the hospitality industry is primed to take advantage of this community because they're already thinking so creatively.
Absolutely. I think this is great of this conversation. And also too, I mean, Michelle and I, we've had multiple conversations too, when it comes to on the teaching side, that, you know, some of our employees, they like to read and being like, okay, this is how I'm able to understand fully of what I need my tasks to be. And others are more visual and now being able to accommodate in a different way to really enlighten for our managers of how to go over a different step-by-step process for jobs to get done, and being more inclusive as well for these variety of different departments. And I also too have to say, with how you're doing the, you know, the lessons and enlightening the managers on your platform, where yes, you are having those webinars, but then also too for the recordings. So it is an option for, okay, maybe that time doesn't work for the managers, but now being able to go back in at a time for them to be able to now listen to those recordings, and then come up also too with engaging with you ladies on the questions to seeing, okay, now how can I make sure that I'm being inclusive and working with, you know, my full team as well. This is awesome.
And also creating that platform or that safe space where, yes, other hoteliers or business owners can actually share their own best practices, because that's, mm-hmm, really something super valuable, that you not always have that forum, right, where you can, mm-hmm, really go out there and share it, you know, your secrets in a way. So this is really great. I love it.
Yes. All right, ladies. So of course you're on WTF Walk the Floor. So we also too go into our segment of those WTF moments. And I think this is also to, you know, to really enlighten our listeners with your WTF moments that is related to this topic. So what do you have?
Well, something that I realized I didn't fully answer earlier was, you know, is hospitality the only place where this can work? I think was close to what your question was. Of course, there are other places where this is 100%. I mean, honestly, every industry, I think, has a place for integrated employment. And we started out working with a restaurant, actually. So, you know, very similar to hospitality in many ways. And kind of our WTF moment with them was, you know, just realizing, yeah, there might be some misconceptions or some hesitations up front, you know, like we said earlier, and, you know, is this going to take extra time up front or extra resources? Yeah, maybe. Actually, probably. We brought a fantastic candidate on board at this restaurant who had been struggling to keep a role filled for more than 2 weeks at a time. They were just constantly investing time and money and recruitment, training, losing. And we bring in this wonderful candidate, and he stayed for over 10 months. Now, what did it require of that management? His training process took longer. He needed more repetition. Another accommodation that he needed was shorter shifts. His stamina required, or, you know, he was best supported when he had shorter shifts. They realized he was kind of fizzling out at the end of these longer 4 to 6 hour shifts. So they cut him back to 2 or 3 hour shifts. But the amazing realization was when they were able to invest that extra time up front, look at what they have gained long term. Mm-hmm. And we praise these owners of this restaurant every time we get the chance, and this employee, because they were committed to troubleshooting, figuring out, readjusting when needed. It would have been very easy to say, you know, this isn't going to work. We're only interested in hiring someone for these hours and these tasks. But everyone was committed to communicating up front. The employee who has autism was open about his needs. And the employer was open to saying, yeah, I think we can work with that. That's not what we originally had planned, but let's see where you can add value to our team. And so really that willingness to pause and see where can I be flexible.
And I'll just add, he's really blossomed in the role and he's actually taken on responsibilities that were not in the original posting because they just see where he's good and where he can add value. And I mean, that is exactly what we want to see, a little bit of openness and creativity so that you can bring on such great candidates. Mm-hmm.
He's managing their inventory system primarily. So this isn't just let's give him the easiest job. Like he's organized. He likes working solo. Great. We've got a whole disorganized basement down below with all of our inventory. We're wasting money, double ordering things because we couldn't find him the first time. And that has all changed since he came. Wow. And then the many roles on top of that that they've added for him. So
it's so critical to be able to comprehend the different levels of disabilities and the strengths behind each one. Because I feel that once we do, we're able to say, okay, this person would be perfect in this role. And so many times we complain that maybe our recruiting team is not hiring specifically to the role. But the reality is that at the end of the day, it's our responsibility as leaders to give them the information that they need, to give them the tools that they need to be able to spot that candidate by comprehending how much flexibility there is to the job description that I just received. And then how can I pair up those strengths to this particular job description, right? I think that we have a huge responsibility when it comes to teaching or arming our recruiters with the right tools to really get you the candidates that you're looking for.
We're working with a client in the hotel space right now. And one of their GMs in Georgia she did a beautiful job of revamping their job posting, being super clear. You know, we talk about that in our teachings on the platform and also in person with this client. And she did such a great job of making the role of house person very clear, down to like, she got so specific. She was like, you'll be going up and down these stairs and it's this many steps, like just to be super clear, this is, you know, what the job requires. But then even more so expressing where there's some give. Like she made a bullet point there that said shifts can be worked in, what was it, 2, 4, 6 hours or 4, 6, and 8 hours, something like that. So we kind of like to talk about job postings as the invitation to the party. And when someone picks up that invitation and reads it, how many times have you gotten a mass email invite and you're like, this isn't even for me. I was just one on a list of a million. But when you get that invitation that is worded and crafted so carefully, that you read and you say, yeah, this party is for me to come to. They want me here. That's the kind of party I want to go to, or that's the kind of invitation that's going to make me want to come. And so that job posting, Michelle, you're so right. That's going to be the first experience they really have with you as an employer. So let's make it good and let's express flexibility where it's needed and also clarity where, you know, there are some things they, you know, if you really want them to know something about the role, then say it. Don't leave it open to questions or ambiguity if it doesn't have to be.
Right. I love it.
Love this, especially too how you mentioned with the recruitment and the job posting. I think that's, you know, a huge first step is really looking at it from there to making sure that it's inclusive and looking at a variety of different options to being able to word the steps more clearly of the expectation, and then having the conversation with the departments that, you know, what that position would be for, to making sure that, you know, where is their flexibility as well, to then being able to put that on the application or on the job posting, you know, like how you were just mentioning with the hours too. Mm-hmm.
So that was a lovely WTF moment where we actually see that leadership is operating outside of the office, on the floor, walking the floor, understanding how we can be flexible, how we can adjust, how we can embrace, how we can include. I love that. Two great stories. This is great.
Well, wonderful. Thank you again, ladies, for hopping on and enlightening our listeners on WTF Walk the Floors. So where can our listeners find you? What's the website? How can they interact? How can they learn more about your platform?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can go to community.igcwithus.com. That's our platform. We will have a webinar, but I guess it won't be, it'll already have happened by the time this posts, but
they'll happen every month though.
They'll happen every month. Yeah. We do have if you're unsure and want to take a sneak peek, we do have a free offering. So please do log on, take a look around and see if we can add some value to your business.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, ladies, for being here. Thank you so much for what you're doing. I just love, 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 love your purpose. And thanks, everyone, for being on the other side. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.